It's time for the most well-known sports radio icon in St. Louis. The show that begs you to answer the question, can I ever be this good? It's time for the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Good evening. I say the same damn thing every time we come on the air. Good evening. I can't say good morning. How's everybody doing tonight? What's up, Tom?
Hello, Charlie. How are you?
Is that true that you're going to be hosting a show for me on Wednesday?
What are you thinking? What, are you crazy? Have you gone out of your tree?
Well, we already knew that. Do you know, I found out the other day, is that a banana peel?
Yeah,
it's a banana peel. Do you know how a monkey peels a banana peel?
The most efficient way to peel a banana?
From the top. But when you're finished,
from this part?
Yep, you just squeeze. All you do is squeeze it, and then it'll peel right open.
Yeah, tomorrow, because you know every night before we go on the air, I have a banana before we go on the air. Tomorrow night, we're going to do it. We're going to try it on the air.
Do it that way.
Okay.
Moses, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good to have everyone back in the studio tonight.
Moses, you won't be here tomorrow. You have a religious obligation.
Yes, sir.
Every year you do it.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate anybody that does that. Tom, how are you? I mean, Joe.
Not that white.
Got a little bit lighter, right?
Yeah, lighter. Vanilla Joe. Did you go down to Old Town St. Charles?
Oh, yeah. Had a good time this weekend. You know,
good time.
Go to a couple bars.
We'll be joined momentarily by Skip Weber. Matter of fact, Skip Weber and I, his lovely wife and my Fraulein and some people, we're going to see Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline Wednesday night.
That's one of his many hits.
Yeah.
He wrote a lot of hits.
No opening act.
No.
Most of the big groups are
Is
like
it in the round or is it at the end?
Scott Trey.
I mean, because sometimes he's done the in the round kind of concerts. I know he's done that at Scott Trey before.
We're watching it from the suite.
Look at you.
That's what I used to watch.
Get some of those free toasted cannellonis and a couple drinks in there. Your brown orange juice.
Apple. I can't count the two.
It's time for the Weber Report, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet and WeberChevrolet.com. Now, here's Skip Weber.
We're broadcasting live from the Weber Chevrolet phone lines, and now here he is, Skip Weber. How you doing, Skip?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We got the whole gang, Tom, all Joe, right, and Moses here. Skip, we're doing quite well.
Well, we're doing better than the Cardinals, I can tell you that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I looked up something today. Their batting average, I think, is .208. Last year, they started out very good, but so far this year, I think, as a team, they're only batting about .208, Skip.
Yeah, they're doing pretty poorly. But I've been disappointed in a couple of pitching performances. They've had some good starting pitching. Martinez was poor yesterday.
Yep.
But I think our bullpen, I hate to say it's early on, but this Brett Cecil has shown me nothing. And they keep running him out there. He lost the lead again for us tonight.
Yep. Big contract.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. He's terrible. Now, Rosenthal just came in and blazed it by three straight batters.
Good. We need him because he just came off the DL. Yep.
But the problem is it's lack of left-handers. Cecil and Segrist are our left-handers, and they always talk about how he's better against righties anyway. So our guy against the lefty intensive lineup is our worst pitcher on the team.
See, what the Cardinals have to do, and these teams like the Cubs do it, you've got to beat the Milwaukees and the Cincinnati's of this world.
You got to sweep them.
Get right.
Yeah.
We only scored runs in one game against Cincinnati. That game Friday night, I was at that game. That was pathetic. Cause no name, first start in the major leagues, and we had two hits and one, and I think two walks. We had four base runners all night. That was just terrible.
One of the big things, Skip, last year was the Cardinal defense and how poorly they played. They don't seem to be much better this year, do they?
They haven't shown us so far, but I mean, not with a bunch of errors. But I just don't think that they're the kind of thing where you expect to, get the stellar play. Although there's been a couple made. Peralta's made a couple at third base. I mean, it's been okay. But I guess though, I will say that first game, Carpenter bobbled one at first base and allowed the Cubs to tie it. but then we still won it. So, you know, that's at least good. I don't know. I think you're right. I haven't been able to watch every game, every inning of every game yet, but my perception is that they're not much better.
The only perception is that it's early in the season, and I didn't know they brought Lonnie Smith back to the left field there, Skip. Matt Adams Jr.
Exactly. Exactly. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I would love to have Lonnie Smith on this team.
Right.
You're right.
because he'd be scoring runs at least.
Yeah.
He's my favorite player when I was in high school. He's by far my favorite Cardinal.
Yeah, like I said, it's early, and this team, Cardinals have always been a warm-weather team, but you can't get too deep behind now because the Cubs are, what are they, 4-2? The Cardinals are 2-4, not counting tonight's game, and they're losing right now in this eighth inning, 7-5.
Let me interrupt you real quick to the stat. Rosenthal threw 14 pitches in his half of the inning. 14 pitches, 10 for strikes, three strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Three strikeouts. He only went to ball two on one player.
Skip, if there was one area of concern that you really wish that the Cardinals would address early in the season right now, what would it be?
I tell you, I'm going to go back to Brett Cecil because we're going to need the left-handed relievers. Mm-hmm. You know, our left-handed people that I know about, and maybe I'm not an expert on the farm system, my left-handed relievers I know about are Gonzalez and Lyons, who have both been starters all their lives. I don't think they're the kind of people you bring in to get out of a jam as a left-hander. So you got only Segrist. I think you need a left-handed bullpen guy. And because I like the rest of our team on paper. I mean, you can't sit there and say that Fowler, Diaz, and Carpenter, who were among the league leaders last year in on-base percentage, you're not going to assume that they're going to all bat 150 for the rest of the year. So if they get even close to all three of them, or two out of three of them get close to what they did last year, our offense will get better. I think Piscotty and Carpenter both have two hits tonight. So I'm not going to – the offense can just get kick-started somehow. I think we need to make sure our bullpen's there. Right now, no lead is safe. Without a left-hander you can count on.
Speaking of the bullpen, real quick, Tom, I was listening to Frank Cusimano. He had Rick Hummel on today, the commish, and Frank said, "Who's the closer? Who's the top closer in this team?" And Rick said, "He said if Trevor Rosenthal is healthy, he's better than O." Yeah.
Well, he just—I mean, it was the seventh inning, not the ninth—but he just looked like the best pitcher in baseball. You know, he cut through the Nationals. Like I said, 10 strikes, 4 balls, 3 strikeouts. No, and nothing. I mean, they were swinging, missing, and then the last strikeout was a sharp breaking ball that froze the guy looking. So, I mean, he just looked great. Now, you know, that doesn't say much for closing because the ninth inning is a different deal, but he looked good. I like O as the closer, though. I can't say that.
He's steady.
Rosenthal from a couple years ago, I'd agree, because O was a good eighth inning guy. So I could go with that.
One of the big questions in the offseason was the Cardinals starting pitching, and one in particular pitcher was Michael Wacha. But he didn't look too terribly bad on Saturday afternoon, did he?
No.
Skip?
He looked good. Lynn looked great, even though they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Leak looked really good. Leak, I was watching at the game, they had the little fantasy stats. Leak was the second best fantasy pitcher of the day. Even though the team lost 2-0, he only gave up one of the two runs. So, he did good. And then I think Wainwright has had two decent outings. He gave up a couple runs tonight, but he's not the reason why we're down 7-5.
You mentioned Leak. Leak looked better than between him and Lynn. They look fantastic over the weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
But you got to
read. Which game did they win? They won Walker's game.
Walker's game on Saturday afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Lynn looked good in game three against the Cubs, but we lost. And then Leak looked good in game one against the Reds, but we lost.
Let's face facts, though. Friday night and Sunday afternoon, you don't score any runs. You're not going to win any ball games if you don't score.
Yeah, you could have we could have Koufax
right.
and Drysdale
That's
out
right.
there. And you're not going to win if you don't score.
Speaking of Martinez, his ERA rose from 0.00 to 3.65 in one game. But he, you know, he'll be okay. I'm not worried about
him. I think so, too. I think so, too. I don't know what the reason for that is, but, you know, a little hiccup. But we've beaten up on the Reds these last few years, and it looked terrible to only score runs in one game.
Skip, USA Today came out with the 40 most powerful people in Major League Baseball. The number four most powerful man in Major League Baseball is an owner, and it happens to be Bill DeWitt of the Cardinals. He's the top most powerful owner, according to USA Today.
Really?
Yep. That's right.
And what do they mean by powerful? What he says goes when he's in a room with somebody, or?
Influential is the key to that, because Rob Manfred, the commissioner, which I don't agree with, I think is the most powerful guy in baseball,
Theo
Epstein. I know people don't want to hear that, but
you're probably right.
Yeah, but
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Here, Forbes magazine had him in the top 10 of all-time leaders of anything.
Ahead of the Pope.
Because he resurrected two dead teams.
Yeah, he did.
I'm looking at that list right now. I see, Charlie, you made it at number 37.
Yeah.
you just made it. You just made it in the top 40.
Doggone, I beat Kirk.
Just ahead of Putin.
Yeah. I almost said something. I called.
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. Let's shift gears quick. All right, the Blues are in the playoffs.
Yeah,
everybody's. Who would have thought we were going to be in the playoffs? And Sobotka came back. We talked about him Thursday night. But look, Moses mentioned this back in the green room earlier, that he came in at the right time. Skip,
I agree. I love it. First of all, when you said who'd have thought the Blues, I believe that I will go on record.
I
don't crow too often, but I'm crowing right now. All along, they're still going to make the playoffs. Yeah. Don't quit worrying about it.
You did say it. You said it months ago, and it happened.
And I'm a little bit worried. I know that we won the season series 3-2 against Minnesota. And some of that might be Yao has his old team's number, but I still am nervous. We've had a tough time scoring against their goaltender. Their goaltender made the All-Star team. You know, the only two goalies in the West two goalies in each league made the All-Star team, and Minnesota's was one of them. And we have had a tough time all season against their goalie. I know one of the – I think the last time we played them, we won 1-0. So it's not like we scored a bunch on them.
Yeah, Devin
– kind of makes me a little bit nervous. Jake Allen has got to be on the top of his game. Top of his game. We're not going to win a bunch of 6-4 games. They're all going to be low-scoring games.
I think the big key in this series, and it could be like one of those things, oh, really? That's really not an earth-shattering thing, but it's number 91, Skip.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's your best offensive sniper. And I think we, on top of that, though, that being said, I think we need a few goals in the series out of our third and fourth line.
Yep.
You can't just rely on him on Tarasenko only.
As Brent Hull told him, just shoot the puck.
That's
just
it.
Just shoot the damn puck.
Exactly.
Don't get too
cute. Keep shooting.
Skip, you know, the addition of Sobotka gives the Blues more versatility in the fact that now they have a guy who's a pretty skilled offensive player. But if I remember Sobotka from the past, he likes to mix it up too. You know, he's one of those guys. He's not a pretty boy out on the ice. He gets physical.
He's tough.
They need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then getting in the playoffs, you know, it's a battle of attrition. You need guys who are going to man up and pay that price.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Playoff hockey is a little bit different. You get a little more physical. Most of the time, it's an endurance test.
His intangible, Skip, he's not physically a big player, but he's scrappy. He's really good at faceoffs. And with Paul Stastny being out, that's going to be one of the big things, is him being able to win those faceoffs.
Yeah, I agree. He's scrappy and he's tough too. Mm-hmm. I mean, scrappy. Sometimes people might be connotation that you're a little bit soft too, but you're always working, you know, or whatever. I think he's tough.
You know, one of the things that surprised me with the Blues here down the stretch is how offensive-minded Ryan Reeves has become.
I was just going to ask that question. Fourth line?
Yeah.
He's always been popular because of his physicalness. But he's, I mean, it's cool. We watch him when we're at the games, and he scored a few goals in front of us. I mean, he's always got putting the puck on the net or centering it well. I like it.
With all due respect to the tough guys of the past, Ryan Reeves is a very skilled player, and on that fourth line, he fits in really well with Brodziak and with Scotty Upshaw.
Yes, I agree.
Skip, we can talk about the Blues all we like. They're better defensively with Cebulka. I know it's offense, but defensively, they need that. But Tarasenko, we mentioned him earlier, he's going to be the most marked man on that Blues team.
Yep. Yeah, if you shut him down, it's tough. It'll be tough for the Blues to win.
Skip, Wednesday night, you have invited me, and I'm going to find you've invited me to dinner for the past 3 years. I never came, but I'm coming Wednesday night to see the one and only Neil Diamond, me and my little lady. We'll be there, and I'm so happy.
It's going to be nice.
I
think it'll be a great show. I've seen him a few times, and he puts on a fantastic show. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
it, too. What's your favorite Neil Diamond song, Skip?
You know, I like some of the older ones that are not quite as well known. There's a couple that Shiloh is one that I really like. I like Holly Holy.
Yeah, Cracklin' Rosie.
You know, those are what's that?
Cracklin' Rosie.
Cracklin' Rosie's one of my favorites, but it's more well known.
Yeah.
I like some of the ones that people don't know quite so much of. Yeah, I like Cracklin' Rosie a lot.
Yeah.
So he'll sing all those, I'm sure. You know, and of course he'll have the audience singing along to Sweet Caroline and Coming to America and all those other ones too. But yeah, I really like some of those older ones when he was first starting out.
Well, I've never been to a Neil Diamond concert, I'll just tell you.
No.
Now is it a lot of ladies come to him, or just dates or whatever, Skip?
Oh, there'll be a lot of ladies there.
But it will be? Oh, I wish I'd have known that earlier.
It'll be. I mean, it won't be like groups of nine ladies. I mean, but a lot of those will have a date. But, I mean, it's definitely a girls' night out. I mean, it's a date night type show.
Oh, good. Well, good. I got a lovely date then. I'm coming. Skip, speaking of the Diamond, what's happening with the Chevy dealer, Weber Chevrolet?
Well, we're looking at a pretty neat month in April. We talked last week about how the pre-owned was such a special deal at our stores, and that's still true. We had a great weekend of pre-owned sales, but let's go back flipping to the new side. There we have really good incentives from Detroit on Cruze, Malibu, and Equinox. We always talk about Silverados. I know that's always there. That's always going to be there. But those other three, Cruze, Malibu, and Equinox, have some great deals on them right now. Big discounts. Special incentives. There's tagged items where 10% of our vehicles have a little bit even higher incentives on them, higher discounts. So it's all at WeberChevrolet.com, and the details are there, and it's pretty easy to find a car you love.
Now, a lot of people, Skip, when they shop for Chevys, pre-owned and new cars, they're payment shoppers, and your finance department can work up those payments for them pretty quick, can't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And our finance department is the best there is. You would be very surprised. I have people come in that are sure that their lending institution, whether it's their bank or a credit union or somebody that they've been dealing with, is gonna do the loan. And next thing you know, we'll say, well, wait a minute, we can save a little bit of money by doing it this way. And they'll leave, you know, $6, $7, $10 cheaper on a payment.
I looked at USA Today last week, and I noticed that they had a big write-up on the Equinox. It had got another award as well.
Yeah, it's the number one selling vehicle in its class. And let me tell you, Consumer Reports has always historically been really down on American-made cars, really down for one reason or another. And I read the reports; it always baffles me why they rate and say the things that they do. This year, Consumer Reports gives the Cruze the top pick in its class, the Impala the top pick in its class, and the Silverado. So, you know, you've got a lot of really good product to choose from.
Let's skip Weber, WeberChevrolet.com. We got three locations, two in Illinois, Granite City, Columbia, and, of course, here at 270 in Olive. Skip, I will join you tomorrow, and we'll hang out on Wednesday. Thanks again, Skip.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you.
The Weber Report was brought to you by Weber Chevrolet.
All right. It's always fun we have Skip on.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy ready for Wednesday?
I am ready. Are you ready?
Still a little worried.
No.
When you get to that show.
I talked to Moses today. Moses said, I'm going to be okay. I talked to him. He'll be
when
okay.
you get to that show, I want you, the first thing I want you to do is have yourself.
I do not listen when I'm not
a couple,
on the air.
No, a couple drinks. Forget about us. Forget about that show with Joe and Tom.
Charlie Tuna never forgets about money.
Fair enough.
Oh, really?
No, never. You never forget about money. Matter of fact, I got to give you some live reads also.
Please. And I know we're shifting gears here in at the station, but we need to get, some of our little bumpers, the Charlie Tuna Show.
We'll do that.
A little Moses, because he's got the voice.
We're going to do that. We got a new voice.
Oh.
We have a new voice. Really? We have a female now.
Oh, okay.
Sexy female.
Really?
All the rejoins, we got a new lady doing it now.
So coming back in from commercials and everything?
Yep. We got a new
voice. You're listening to the Charlie Tuna Show.
Which is what I used to have with a lady named Sheila Reed. So we're going to have a lot of little changes.
Okay.
Whether the time changes or what, there'll be some changes. Pretty good.
Just don't worry about Wednesday night.
No,
we'll be able to handle it.
It's going
to
be all right.
Short, sweet questions and everything.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be joined by Joe Fresta at 9:35 tonight. He's our Blues Insider. We'll talk to him. And also, you guys are going to. Maurice Scott was on Channel 5, I think, Saturday.
Did you see Maurice? I saw him with.
He's sitting on the little stool.
Charlie.
Oh, Maurice Drummond didn't see him. He was sitting on the little stool.
Yeah, I saw you last night.
Was it Saturday night or last night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Because Frank was working. I said, why is Frank working on Saturday?
Maurice had his sunglasses on.
Saturday night Frank was working?
He was incognito.
Yeah, Frank's sports director shouldn't be working on Saturday.
But they're
on the staff, though.
But it was over. Yeah.
Yeah, there's
only Frank and two. What's her name?
The lady comes in here.
Yeah.
Audrey.
Yeah,
Audrey.
Dahlgren. Yeah.
Yeah, Audrey Dahlgren.
Audrey, you look so good. Looking good, Audrey.
But I saw Maurice with his sunglasses on.
He was sitting on the phone book.
He
was sitting on the telephone, two yellow pages.
As long as he wasn't sitting on Frank's lap.
But yeah, he did very good.
He did. He was very insightful, as Maurice always is. And he knows what he's talking about, especially when it comes around to goings on at Como.
They took too long to get Tillman's release.
Mm.
You can't do that. Another guy decommitted, too.
I know.
But you'll know about that Wednesday,
right.
Won't you?
Oh, yeah. We'll get on. We'll get to it. Mm-hmm.
We'll have it all together.
For Wednesday. Don't be tipping our hand now.
those are hands you want to tip. Mizzou, by the way, signed another point guard named Blake Harris. He was committed to the University of Washington. He decommitted also.
Mm. In all your time,
pretty quick.
And Moses has been watching sports for a long time, and you've been around for a long time. Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen a turnaround, be it professional or college, this quickly in less than a month, going from the proverbial outhouse, as we say, to the penthouse, but somewhere? I mean, lost
they were
in
on the ground.
Ability,
they didn't even
lost.
Have
they were lost.
Yeah, they
and
were
now
lost.
You're talking maybe potentially a top 10.
Well,
team.
The closest thing I can think of is Hardball going to Michigan, back to Michigan.
Mm.
They were 6-7 that year before
he
came.
Or the 99 Rams.
That's
a good one.
But you know, we had alluded to earlier that when they made this hire, mm-hmm. Missouri had to make a hire that was going to make a splash like this. And this hire has already paid instant dividends. Mm-hmm. Kwanzo Martins has just an outstanding effect on the program and has not coached one game yet, which speaks volumes to him as a coach.
They have a rating mm-hmm. service they use. If they can get the Knox, because they were all in town, and Tillman to sign with them within the next few weeks, they will be the number one recruiting school in the country.
Oh, wow.
Behind guess who?
Kentucky. Of course.
Yeah, Kentucky's we don't give a damn about
and now you got two SEC
one
schools.
And done you.
Yeah, one and done you. And it could be very well the case here at Mizzou. Mm-hmm. It'd be one and done or two and done. Down in Columbia.
Be fine with me.
But that's, you're right. You're right, because they're winning.
Now, I said something. I don't know if you heard Frank show Friday.
No.
Kanzo went to see, what's the kids from Evansville?
Oh,
Smith?
Yeah.
He went to see him. So Mark Smith's father texts Frank that, Kanzo was very, very good.
Mm.
Very impressed with him. I said, that's wonderful, coach. I said, that don't sound good. That's like telling me I want you to meet this girl.
Yeah.
She's looks good. She smells good. So,
but
so that wasn't good enough for me. But you can't get everybody.
No,
you can't get everybody. No.
You never know what's going to happen.
But at least he is going to make the attempt, unlike some previous coaches in that Missouri regime.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had Kenzo Martin there. Then you had Calipari.
Right. I heard he was there as well, John Calipari. But and he still hasn't.
But Michigan State wants him hard, worse than anybody.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
And that's Izzo, the Izzo factor. But that's the thing. And Kenzo hasn't even, besides the Tillman deal, which you don't know what's going to happen, he hasn't even gotten to the inner city yet of St. Louis. Has he?
No.
Recruited. Just
maybe,
wait.
He hasn't had to. Maybe,
just no, wait till he does that.
They really don't have anybody. Yeah.
Well,
the
I'm just saying, no. He hasn't. Yeah, but just wait.
That's why he got here. Well, there'll be somebody.
Sure. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, always going to be someone coming
along. There'll be somebody.
But yeah. I'm really looking forward. And I'll tell you something. I was going to talk about this on my play, but I'm going to make this before we go to the break.
Yeah.
What he has done, he has made Barry Odom take notice in the fact that he's going to have to raise his expectation level, too.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while.
Because if Kenzo comes in, you know,
and they win,
Odom is going to be in a lot of trouble if he doesn't have a respectable season.
But what college teams, and we talked about this, too, what colleges have both football and basketball that are good at the
very
same
rare.
Time? Very rare.
Well, but you
Florida
got to look.
Be back in those 607.
That's yeah. Florida. Yeah. Kentucky is now.
Yeah, but
no, Kentucky's football team is there now.
Really?
Made a bowl game for the first time
Mizzou.
In years. Kentucky's football.
Yeah, they were better than Mizzou.
Alabama, of course, you got to say Alabama's team is back. Their basketball team is back.
Basketball is back.
Florida
yeah.
State.
Yeah, Florida.
Another
State.
Another good football basketball school.
That's not SEC. That's ACC. Yeah. But still, Mizzou. But Kentucky is back.
Oh.
So
just wait.
You got to get ready. They got the network. That's the key,
oh, yeah.
man.
That's the thing.
A lot of money
the
there.
SEC network.
Hey, we'll take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We'll be joined in a little bit by Joe Freston. We'll talk a little to hockey. I know, Tuna, you're talking hockey.
Come on.
Times do change. We'll talk a little hockey. See what you want to do. Our musical guest tonight is Michael St. Louis and Michael McDonald. And yeah, yesterday, folks, it was quite a celebration I heard. At Chuck Berry's service and funeral at the Pageant Theater. Tell you a little bit about them. My daughters, my ex-wife, and a bunch of friends went. I didn't attend. I wanted to stay away and let everybody have their own perception. We'll be right back.